Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. This is the episode for January 7th, 2008, and welcome to our 100th podcast. That's right, we are on our cent episode, our triple digit podcast, our Roman numeral C, our hectopisode, and we couldn't be happier. And on this special episode, we have an interview with the legendary Gary Griffin. He will be talking to Tom Williams about The Goodbye Girl, now playing at the Drury Lane Oakbrook Terrace. Also, we have Chicago's theater news for you, so get ready, Chicago. And let's talk theater.
This is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. This week marks our 100th podcast without missing a week, which is something we're proud of. And our special guest to honor us in our 100th production is Gary Griffin, who is the top Chicago musical comedy director and one of this reporter's favorite directors, whose current show is The Goodbye Girl at Drury Lane Oakbrook. That just opened last Thursday, and it's a terrific show. Hello, Gary.
Hey, hi. Thank you, Tom.
This is a return for you to Drury Lane, where you were artistic director for a number of years.
Yeah, back in from 93 to 98, I was artistic director, and then I went back in 2000 and 2001. I did a few shows after I left, but since 2001, since Big, yeah, this has been the first time I'd be able to come back. So it was great to get to not only get to go back to the theater and at a time when the theater is actually having a really great new surge of commitment to production and that sort of thing, which is exciting. It's also, just fun to be back with friends and people that I worked with years ago.
Yes, and I remember when I interviewed Kyle DeSantis, he said that he was going to bring back all the top directors and put a lot of energy into it. And Jim Cordy did the last show, and you're on this show, so they're really on a track where I think they've increased the production values of their shows.
Yeah, they truly have, yeah.
So tell us about The Goodbye Girl. I know a lot of people know it's based on the 1977 film and the failed musical on Broadway, but, you know, Chicago's getting good at taking shows that didn't really make it in Broadway and rediscovering them.
Yes, well, I think, you know, at heart it was a good idea, the original idea to make a musical of Goodbye Girl. It's certainly for me, I think the lead characters sing well. I mean, they sing well as characters. You know, the characters, it makes sense to make them singing characters. And also, I think the love story is there's such a great journey as we watch these characters figure out, go from this unbelievable situation, which is what Neil Simon provides in his plays. You know, he puts these characters into a situation and then let them figure out how they're going to get out of it. And in this case, they fall in love. It was crafted by some of the best people, you know, in the business. Marvin Hamlisch wrote the score along with lyrics by David Zippel. The book was, of course, by Neil Simon. It was directed by Gene Sachs, had an amazing cast, Martin Short and Bernadette Peters. But sometimes, you know, all of those things don't necessarily lend to a great show, and I think that was one of the, I mean, there are all kinds of, I think everybody can have thoughts about why the original didn't catch on at a major level, but I think, it at Drury Lane with a cast of excellent actors, excellent Chicago actors, particularly one of the, you know, Elliot, the lead male character, is an actor from Chicago, so you couldn't get more well cast than that.
That's true.
But I think there's a heart and a charm and a simplicity that we're able to achieve here and in this production that I hope brings out the best values in it.
Well, I saw the production with Bernadette Peters and Martin Short, and I had a lot of problems with it. I thought they kind of tried too hard, and as good as Martin Short is, I just didn't buy him and Bernadette Peters. but yet the cast with Susan Meneses and Bernie Yvonne, you buy it. There's chemistry there.
Yeah, they do. They're old friends for one thing. They've worked together a lot, and then I'm so sorry, I got a little cough here. They really are amazing at putting over the material, and it's thrilling to see what they're able to do with it. It was terrific to work with them.
Now, what perspective or point of view did you take on the show? You know, knowing that it only ran 188 performances, and it's been done a few times in regional theater. What was your got you interested in, and what point of view did you go into the project with?
Well, I loved that it was about learning to trust. I thought that was such a nice, simple theme that the show had, and that was something that I think we watched these two characters figure that out, and they actually take that journey together. And I also loved the whole notion of the child and the fact that these three people had to, they couldn't just figure out, the adults couldn't just figure out it for themselves, that there was a kid involved. And so they had to figure out that, too, this extended family, this new family they were going to create.
Yeah, that is
so
unique.
So really, that nucleus of the story was really what most attracted me. And, I happen to like intimate musicals. And I think in the large part, this is an intimate musical. It's mainly about three people. The ensemble are not a chorus, like in a traditional sense. They're all characters that in the other areas of the main characters' lives we need to meet. They tell us a lot about the world these people live in. We meet the other actors in Elliot's play. We meet the dancers that Paula had worked with. So I think it helps us understand the struggles that these people are having outside of the apartment.
Yeah, and the children the children make comments as you're doing scenes, and the lady that's the housekeeper or the landlord.
Right, and it's kind of great that we get to see their lives outside of the apartment. It would be, I think, a much less musical if it were just three people inside the apartment. And I think the fact that we get to meet Lucy's friends, all of these other characters help us understand what these people are facing individually. And so that I loved. I have never done a Neil Simon play, and I've directed over 100 shows.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was, it shocks me too in a way. So I liked the opportunity to get the chance to work on the material, and I happen to have really grown to have new respect for Simon. I always liked his plays and enjoyed them, but I really have grown to appreciate the craft.
Oh, yes.
And really, actually, it's not all about one-liners. I mean, he's often criticized for that, but I think one of the things we found is just trusting it and playing it truthfully. The laughs are there. You don't have to ask for them. And I think that, it's really, I enjoyed so much being in his world.
Well, Bernie Yvonne told me after the show, and by the way, we got to give him the medal for bravery.
And oh my God!
Opening night, he had laryngitis and such a cold, and I'll tell you, it didn't slow him down a bit. A few times, with the voice, but he just came across what a trooper. And I told him, I said, it almost was your advantage to be sick because whatever he did, the chemistry was there, and everyone in the audience was really rooting for him. You like Elliot anyhow, but boy, that performance!
Yeah,
you got to be proud of that.
I am. I'm extremely proud of him. I think he did an amazing job with it, made it his own, which I love. And I think he did, of course, on opening night. I mean, that was extraordinary. The way he was able to say, well, I don't have all of my tools, but I'm going to use everything I have to put this across.
Yeah, and he did. And I asked him, I said, what did you do to consciously not be Martin Short? And he said, he quoted you. He says, well, Gary told me, he just trust the material. And he kind of went from there. But I think he did make it his own.
Oh, I do, too. Yeah. I definitely do.
And so tell us about the casting. I know Susan Meneses has been in shows with you, and she's one of our grand ladies.
Yeah, I love Susan, particularly on material like this. I find, I think she's a terrific actress and a terrific leading lady. But I think one of the things that I think is really special about Susan is characters that have a very emotionally challenging journeys. I think she just does particularly well. And I think Paul is very complicated, and in that you have someone who's been dumped, and she decides at the beginning. beginning, this is the last time. I'm not going to let this happen anymore. I'm going to focus on raising my child, and I'm not going to go there. And of course, like all of us know in our lives, almost always when we say, when we finally let go of something and say it's never going to happen, of course we make it possible for it to happen.
Yeah, but she sets that whole mood up with that the No More song that just goes right to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And you buy her character from there, and you're hoping that she'll ease up.
Right.
But because one of the things that just for our case our audience doesn't know, isn't familiar with the film, is she ends up having to live with this actor that she didn't know because her boyfriend dumped her and subleased the apartment. So,
right.
I mean, that's pure Neil Simon. Who else could come up with that?
Right. I mean, it's really, I said there's so many, echoes of Odd Couple and Chapter 2 and, a lot of his best plays, I think, are in this text because he really does put characters into a situation and with their own complications and let them go. And that's one of the things I respected so much is you don't feel him manipulate the evening. He set it up so well that it unfolds very effortlessly. And I think that's what he does, extremely well as a writer.
And Bernie Avanche certainly made it his. I mean, some of the criticism of the play, of the musical years ago, was that the characters were underdeveloped. You would never notice that in your production. I mean, Susan developed it so well, and Bernie was just, you just loved him, but you understood him.
Yeah.
And I mean, he added a couple of ad-libs, I'm not sure, but that opening, one of the opening scenes when the set starts revolving, when he
the
says...
The funny thing is, I will tell this out of school.
Okay.
The first one is in the script.
It is, okay.
The original design also used a revolve. They used it very differently than we do, but the original design had a revolve. And actually, the whole line is, what kind of apartment is this? It looks like a merry-go-round. Well, on opening night and many of the performances, he got such a big laugh on what kind of apartment is this, he didn't even do the second half.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Now, did add the line in the second act when it starts to spin, when he comes home drunk after the opening night. It was just too perfect to not have him say, I think the room is spinning.
Yeah, and then, of course, but what you did putting that in is that's Neil Simon's style because he knew how to take a bit and not beat it to death, but, refer to it a couple times and get more laughs out of it.
Well, we felt justified because he had done it in the first act. We thought, okay, I don't think he'll mind if we do it here.
Yeah, but so no one can say that there isn't character development in this production. And the other thing that I liked was like in the number when Paula goes to audition, it sounded like Hamlisch was kind of either paying homage to a chorus line in there.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Beat Behind. And even if you listen, that's a lot like Chorus Line. Also, there's a second act, Jump for Joy, where she's choreographing the number with the dancers. And that music sounds very much like Music in the Mirror.
Yes, it does.
And TikTok from Company. I think both of them.
And isn't it kudos to how great our talent pool here is in Chicago is how well they all danced both of those numbers.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, we had just such a great thing. And Tammy Mader did a terrific job on it.
She did.
Yeah. And, of course, all our regulars that we see in a lot of the shows did a terrific job. But what Bernie Vaughn did, especially those scenes with Neil Friedman, set that up for us, that where he's playing.
Well, what happens in the play is he's a Chicago actor who's come to New York to star in an off-Broadway production of Richard III. And when he arrives on the first day of rehearsal, the director denounces that he's decided to have Richard played by a man playing a woman playing a man, and which is a complex thing anyway, but it of course is high concept, and he just wanted to play it. He came believing he would play a more traditional one with the hump and a club foot and all of that. So he reluctantly agrees to do this and agrees to work with this director's concept, and of course it has disastrous results. But they do have an amazing and a fun chemistry together.
And with Bernie in that costume, the wig, and he's in drag, and yet he's still trying to act like he's got the hump and the bad leg.
Yeah.
I mean, it was some of the funniest. I mean, I have not seen a funnier routine in a show in many a moon. It's almost worth the whole show, that scene.
Oh, great.
You know, so that really came off well. So, but let's go into a little bit of how you select people for shows. I mean, did you have Bernie Von and Susan Meneses in mind?
I definitely had Susan, and I actually, certain roles you do have people. I mean, but with Elliot, Elliot was I thought challenging enough that we actually saw several people for it. But Bernie gave an unbelievably great audition, and I really, from the first actually moment he came in, I was very interested and excited about him because, it just excited me. And I also, one of the things that I liked about casting Bernie is I hadn't seen him do roles like this. So it's always fun for me. I just think personally to see someone in areas and doing and working on things that I hadn't seen. He's also there's warmth about him that is, I think, really important for Elliot.
Oh, yes. He's one of those guys, he can walk on the stage and smile and you love him.
Yeah, exactly.
He hadn't done anything. Yeah. And that's a heck of a base for Elliot.
Yeah. And Susan, again, I knew that I think the role's tricky, but I think I could certainly buy her in the situation. And I knew that she, first of all, she sings. That's an amazing voice. And I knew that the score would be well served as well. So it was, they were, I was really pleased we were able to get both of them.
Yeah, and the chemistry between them is very believable.
Yeah, good.
So you got to be proud of this show.
I am. I'm very proud of it. Thank you.
And just let me put a little plug in for the show. It's at Drury Lane, Oakbrook. And if you haven't been out there, it's terrific. There's lots of parking. The tickets are under $30 for a full equity major regional theater. And it runs Wednesdays through weekends. What you do matinees on Saturdays and Sundays also, right?
Yeah. And Thursdays.
And Thursdays. Okay.
Right.
So it's definitely worth seeing. But now let's go into some of your background, because a lot of people know the name from A Color Purple, which I have to give you congratulations on. I thought it was absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
And tell us how that process went, how you got involved in a major show like that.
Well, the producers were, when they were in the process of sort of shopping around and looking for directors, I know that they were interested in ways, you know, in approaches to storytelling. And Scott Sanders, who's an interesting guy in that he is very good at going around and really seeing a lot of work that isn't the obvious on the, you know, on the nose kind of thing. And he came to see a couple of shows of mine. He saw Pacific Overtures and Sunday in the Park with George.
Two masterpieces.
Thank you. That he particularly liked. And at that point in my career, I was starting to get some work, you know, fortunately from those productions. So we met, and we actually didn't meet initially about Color Purple. He just wanted to do something together. He had several projects that he was developing, and after a couple of months, he had me come in and listen to some music that had been written so far for the show. They were in a very early stage of the writing, and I thought I wasn't being considered for the show. I thought he just wanted to know what I thought about it. And then after that meeting, I went out and met the authors and had a work session with them. And over the process of a few months, we made an agreement to work together, and then we developed the show over a couple of years in workshop, and then we did a out-of-town tryout in Atlanta in the fall of 2004, and then we opened on Broadway in December of 2005.
How scary was that to take one of the great films of all time? It's one of my, a lot of people consider one of the 10 best films, and one of the great books that just, and to put that on stage and try and condense it down to a couple hours of musical theater, that had to be scary, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was a lot. It was, I will say, you know, we all had what we loved. You know, all of us had our favorite things about the story that we wanted to be sure we were able to preserve. But we sort of looked at it and said, what will make a great musical? I mean, the movie is the movie, and the movie's fantastic, and we knew we couldn't compete with the movie, because the movie can do all kinds of things that you can't do on stage. Mm-hmm. And we had to figure out the things we could do on stage that you can't do in a film. And, of course, a lot of it is musical, and how much we could have the characters sing, and how through song we could get connected to the lead character, who's very introverted in the film. There were ways that Spielberg used the close-up, and we used the song. And so that was a process of... I think we were all also, Alice Walker was a very good friend of our development process, and she was around a lot and just very supportive and great. And I think we all wanted to honor her and her book, so that was always our guiding force as well, is that how much we loved the book and her and wanted to honor. So I think the musical really became an adaptation of the novel and not...
Right, and people said,
the,
you know,
the movie.
And people tried to compare it. I told them the same thing. I said, the interpretation, it's always an interpretation. Even from the film, from the book is an interpretation.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But the decisions you guys made, I thought were terrific. And of course, casting Felicia Fields was just genius. I had a feeling you had something to do with that.
Well, Felicia and I have worked together for all of our careers. You know, we've worked at a lot of shows in Chicago, and we always liked to do things that weren't obvious for either one of us. And I always loved casting her in roles that were a little off the nose.
Well, she said she owes her career on an interview we did her to you discovering her in a church in the South Side.
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't be me. But I think that might be David Bell or somebody. But we actually had more just fun trying wacky ideas that we had together, which is what was interesting. Then when we got to Color Purple, I think it's the best cast she ever has been. As far as I'm concerned, it was a role that she's absolutely perfect for.
Yes, she was.
And she was really she's been with the project the longest and had the longest association with it. And we're very good friends, and it was great. It's been just fantastic.
I didn't see the New York production of it, but I was at the opening of the Chicago production, and Chris Jones and several people said that the Chicago production had a stronger cast.
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, I think...
It's particularly the girl that played the lead.
The lead, yeah. Oh, yeah, she's amazing.
Oh.
You know, it's sort of like comparing your children.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I can't really... You know, it's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always say all of them... I was just today, and I got back to New York today, and I'm rehearsing a new Celie that's going into the show in a week. And there's so much about her that I like. So you know, it's very, very hard to say, oh, this is my favorite. You know.
Yes. Well, that was unfair for me to ask.
They all have aspects of things that it's sort of like you could say, well, I love this one. It was the best at this, and you know, mm-hmm. but I have. You know, I spend a lot of time with my leads in that show, so
it's still going strong in New York.
Yeah,
and the tour is
our third year.
Where's the tour now? Is it in San Francisco
or
LA?
In LA.
And Felicia's still with the show.
Yeah,
yeah,
she is still with the show.
Great. I hope it comes back to Chicago, because they had a pretty good run here.
It did, and it very well might.
Well, that's great. So you got to be really proud of that. And I felt so bad, and so did a lot of people, when you did not get nominated for Tony for Best Director.
And
I can say it. I know you won't, but I can say sometimes they're tough on Chicago directors and shows in New York. Is it a little bit of envy that Chicago's where it's happening now, or what?
I honestly my own feeling about that. You know, you're in a year, and there were, I think, six really strong musicals, and there were only four slots, and I think...
I think that was part of it.
You know, I think it sort of pans out that way. I didn't... You know, it's so funny, because I had already, and I really had already predicted who the four would be, so it wasn't shocking to me. I was so thrilled that the show got so many nominations. I mean, we hadn't got a lot of nominations in some of the other awards, and so I was so thrilled. And all the day people were calling me and going, "Oh my God, I feel so bad for you." When I was actually feeling good about where where the show would come in terms of overall nomination.
Well, that's noble of you. And just for our listeners, you do have a few Jeff Awards in Chicago. I counted eight. Is that accurate?
I think that's right.
Yeah. So it's not like we don't know that, that you're a top director. But let's go back into some of the other things that shows that I thought were great that you did. The Two Piano My Fair Lady from Court, I saw it several times. I thought it was just phenomenal what you did with that show.
Thank you. That was we all loved that when it was in. We spent a long time. Tom Murray, the musical director, and I worked on that show together. It was a show we had. Charlie had asked Tom and I to look at a musical we thought we could do there, and that was one. We did it in a couple of kind of mini workshops before we did the larger production, and it was really a glorious project, partly because we loved that cast. It was just
Kevin Goodall and Kate Fry,
and Kate and John Rieger, yeah. Marilyn Bogatich and Ola Jones. I mean, it was just fantastic to be in the room with them every day. So,
but doesn't that show fit some of your philosophy too? That the small moments that you can take a big show and make it small, because if it's got a strong text base, as of course My Fair Lady does.
Yeah, I think my guiding principle about that show was always kind of simple, in that I always thought what I wanted it to feel like is that My Fair Lady was this size show, and we just pulled the walls in and showed it to you as though, you know, it was a close-up. And what would you see if you saw it from the inside, the interior version? And that's what we did. And it was, we didn't have to cut very much. People were always shocked that they thought we cut a lot and changed a lot. We really didn't. We didn't have to.
No, but it just maybe some of the big ensemble numbers were maybe slightly shorter, but that every word. I know that show so well. I don't think you cut anything. If anything, you made it stronger. The dynamics between the two leads were just fabulous.
Okay.
And Pacific Overtures. I mean, an upstairs show at Chicago Shakespeare that I thought was just phenomenal. Then you take it to London and win the awards in London. You got to be proud of that.
That was a really special project, and one I'll always be. It's funny because I always relate them to what they were like to work on, and that one was extremely, it had challenges, but I loved working on it. I don't think any of us, the show had such a challenging history that I don't think any of us really thought, oh, here we're going to do a Pacific Overtures that's going to have this kind of impact. But, you know, fortunately it did. So.
Yeah. Well, it just your interpretation of it was phenomenal, as was Passion that you did last year at Shakespeare.
I loved Passion. It was great fun. I had always been sort of perplexed by Passion. It wasn't at first high on my list of shows to do, and I had an experience the summer before we did it where I spent some time looking at the score again, and I realized how it just, it was clear how great the show is. So that was, and we had, again, another terrific cast. Anna Gasteyer, who I loved working with.
And she was fabulous.
Kathy Boitkoi, and it was just, that was a
And it's another one of those shows that needs to be in an intimate setting. And
yeah.
You seem to do so well with shows. I mean, Broadway maybe ought to learn from us that they overproduce a lot of shows that if you put them in a more intimate space, they work much better.
Well, I think that's true.
Yeah, definitely Passion showed that, as did the Two Piano My Fair Lady. But another one that I liked that you did a few years back for Famous Star was Beautiful Thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, tell us about that. That's a wonderful play.
It is. It's a lovely little play. And Dan Rifkin, who was artistic director at the time, brought the play to me and said, you know, what do you think of this? Would you like to do it? And we did a reading of it. And again, I don't think any of us thought it had a massive potential. I think, again, we wanted to do it. We liked it. We did it at the theater building, and then it ran for about 30 weeks there and was a really nice little hit. And then we went and took it to the Cherry Lane Theater off-Broadway.
And how it did well there, too, didn't it?
Yeah, we ran about 6 months, which for an off-Broadway play is pretty good.
Yeah, that's very good. And then you brought it back at Green Street Theater. That's when I saw it. And then, of course, they made a movie of it. And, again, a lot of people thought your production was stronger than the movie.
Oh.
But you must be proud of that. Okay, tell us what you have going now now that the Goodbye Girl is up and running. What do you have coming up now?
Well, I'm going out to San Diego to the Old Globe Theater. I'm working on a new musical called Dancing in the Dark, which is based on the MGM movie The Bandwagon.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, sure.
With a new book by Douglas Carter Beam. And it's I've been working on it for a couple of years, and it's just a really smart musical, and Doug's done a great job with it, and so we'll do that, and then
I hope you bring it to Chicago.
I'm sorry?
I hope you bring that to Chicago.
I hope so, too. That would be great. Then I'm doing a new musical that opens in early June at Playwrights Horizons here in New York, which is based on the movie Saved, which is about a Christian high school. And we've adapted it into a musical with a very delightful score by Michael Friedman and Rita Groff and John Dempsey. So I'm very excited about that project.
Well, that's great. That I always ask this question, so this will be my last question for you. What do you expect to be doing 5 years from now?
Oh God, I don't know. I hope I'm still, you know, doing a lot of new work and finding new shows that people want to see. I don't tend to plan in terms of destinations. It's fun to, I think I'm always sort of surprised at what I'm doing because it's, you sort of figure out what's the next thing in front of you that you should try. And that was something with Pacific Overtures. I was really interested in all the style and the kabuki, and I thought, well, that would be great to learn about and do. And so it's sort of in front of you before you know it. So I think I just hope that, you know, we keep finding great new work to work to attack and try.
So you're still going to be directing for the stage?
Oh, God, yeah.
Based out of Chicago?
Yes, always.
Great, because we don't mind lending you to New York, but we don't want you to abandon us here because you've had such
Chicago's
a great...
Chicago's my home.
That's great. That's great. Gary, thank you so much. It's been an honor. And folks, get out to see any show with Gary Griffin's name on it. You got to go see. No, really, you're one of those directors that if your name's on it, it's definitely worth seeing because you know what you're doing and you have terrific judgment. And thanks for a great interview.
Thank you.
And
thank
folks, you go see a play this week.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to the 100th episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of January 7th, 2008. The Goodman Theater has announced its next season, which will see the return of Brian Dennehy. He will be starring in the revival of Eugene O'Neill's Desire Under the Elms. Desire is slated to be directed by Goodman Artistic Director Robert Falls, whom we hope to get on the show at some point this year. Desire Under the Elms will be the center of the Eugene O'Neill Festival at the Goodman all next season. Director Robert Falls and Brian Dennehy have already worked together from a show you may remember called Galileo, as well as some other Tony-winning shows. They do make a good pair. The Goodman has also announced that next season will see the much-anticipated musical The Turn of the Century, directed by famous Broadway director and 9-time Tony Award winner Tommy Tune. Some big Broadway stars are set to be in the cast. Also coming on September 18th of this year, the Goodman will be working with Silk Road Theater Project on Yoan. The show will be directed by Goodman's newly named member, Steve Scott. For more information on the Goodman Theater's upcoming season, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. Well, Chicago's own Chris Jones from the Tribune has released his top 10 most anticipated shows of 2008. Northlight Theater up in Skokie makes two appearances on the list, and you also have theaters such as Writers Theater, Next Theater, Court Theater, Steppenwolf, and of course, The Goodman. But perhaps my favorite show on the list, and the show I am most eager to see, is Fragments. The show will be coming to the Chicago Shakespeare Theater. It's going to be directed by famed director Peter Brooks, where he directs five pieces from playwright Samuel Beckett. The show will be performed by an international cast, and it comes to the Chicago Shakes on January 30th, and I am looking forward to it. For more information, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Now Playing section. Also, don't forget to check out our Tick Top List. That's Theater in Chicago's Top List. You can find that link on the left bar towards the bottom. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. We have come to the end of our 100th episode, but before I let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from Hamlet, Act 2, Scene 2. Brevity is the soul of wit. Well, that sees the end of the double-digit episodes of the Theater News. We are now only looking at three digits and beyond. Remember, you can see us here every Monday with more news ready for you to enjoy. So, until next Monday, that is the Theater News from Talk Theater in Chicago. And I'm your host, Dustin Moat. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Gary Griffin for giving us the honor of interviewing him this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. Without them, all 100 of these podcasts would not have been possible. Tom, Mark, thank you very much. I would also like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next Monday, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you, Chicago, to keep talking theater.